The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Recognizing that God's desire for us to prosper is linked to understanding the Word of God, applying the Word of God to our lives, and walking every day in that power. Now, Deuteronomy 8:18, which is the scripture that we've been using, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth." Now, what does God do? Gives us power to get wealth. He didn't say, "I'm going to pour power upon you." Didn't say, "I'm going to pour wealth upon you." He said, "I'm going to give you power to get wealth." Interesting that He gives to His people the ability to get wealth. Of course, we've been talking about wealth. We also have been using Joshua 1:8 because it talks about prosperity and being prosperous in whatever we do. If we take this book of the law and do not depart from it, all that we do, we will prosper in. So we're tying everything to the Word of God and to the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ. And we have to get the right perspective on wealth, because heaven's perspective on wealth is totally different than our perspective on wealth. For instance, I was thinking about this little story that I heard about a Christian who wanted to, he was a wealthy Christian businessman. He wanted to take some of his wealth to heaven with him. And he just kept asking God and asking God. And finally God said, "Okay, you can bring one suitcase full of what I tell you to bring." So the guy finally passed away and he went to heaven, and here he comes to the pearly gates dragging his suitcase. And the angel stopped him and said, "You can't come in here with anything. God does not, well, I have a special agreement with God. I can bring this in." So the angel said, "Okay, you wait here." He went back, talked to God. God said, "Yeah, I gave him this, his permission to bring this. But first of all, I want you to look at it." So the angel came back and said, "Show me what you've got in the suitcase." And the guy opened it up, and he had gold bars filled, a suitcase filled with gold bars. And the angel just shook his head. He said, "Pavement? Why would you bring pavement to heaven?" The roads are paved with gold. That's heaven's perspective. Our perspective is totally different. You know, gold is so wonderful to us. To God, it's just pavement. Let's get God's perspective on these things. Let's get God's perspective on wealth, on prosperity. Let's understand what God wants for His people and how that we can implement these things that we have in our life and these tools that God has given us to be able to impact the kingdom of God. What does Deuteronomy say? That you might establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. He told their fathers that He was establishing a covenant with them, so the kingdom of God would be established in the earth. That's our job. Establish the kingdom of God. If we can get that kind of perspective. If we can get that kind of perspective on everything that we do. Money is a tool. Finances are tools. It makes something beautiful if you use it right. Use wrong, it makes a mess. It's sort of like Louis Palau said this about the church. He said, the church is like manure. If you pile it up, it stinks to high heaven. But if you spread it out, it enriches the earth. Isn't that pretty cool? Because it is. When the church spreads out and does what God tells them to, it enriches. And I believe that when we use our finances for the kingdom of God, it's enriching the kingdom of God. And it's encouraging the world to know that God is truly on the throne. So if we get the proper attitude about wealth and prosperity, it's not about us. You know, God's not doing this so that we can just live a comfortable life. I like to live a comfortable life. How many likes a comfortable life? Come on. Hallelujah. We all do. Yeah. That's not what it's all about. It's about the kingdom. Which means then that in order to fulfill the kingdom work, I have to do things that are not necessarily comfortable for me. Not necessarily comfortable for you. It's about doing God's will, even when it takes us outside of our comfort zone and moving into the things of God. All right, the first thing, I just want to do a real quick review about what I've talked about previously. Everything belongs to God. We know that every beast of the forest is mine and a cattle on 1,000 hills, God says. Yes. It's all His. If we can get that perspective, we're all right. We're managers. He's given us the ability and the responsibility to manage everything in this earth. God has given authority to mankind. It's the dominion mandate. And he has given man dominion in this earth. The problem is Satan, through his manipulation and control, has gained authority, and he has the authority and power over dominions and over kingdoms in this earth. Now, does that mean that it's hopeless for us? Absolutely not. All you got to do is read through the Bible and you see that God always put His key people in particular and in very important positions, even in those pagan societies. Babylon was one of the most pagan societies. The whole purpose of Babylon was demon worship. And God put His people, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all, you know, His people in the right place so they could influence the society. That's real prosperity. That's what God wants for His people, to influence. Now, I got to tell you something. I don't care the dominion theology as far as some people do, because some people believe that in dominion theology that the church is going to take over all of the society, all governments. We're going to eventually come to the place where we're in control, and then we're going to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. You must not read the Bible and understand eschatology, you know, future events, to say that, because that's not what's going to happen. But we do have a responsibility. We are salt and light in this earth. So we have a responsibility to walk as that salt and light and to make a difference. As long as we are here, we're to be everything that God has called us to be. Okay, so we're to manage. If we're going to manage, we must have a moral compass. And that's the Word of God. Follow that. Be a person of integrity. Be a person of character. The reality is somebody is going to be in control. God has His people. Are we going to rise up and do what God has called us to do? I've heard people say you can't legislate morality. Nonsense. Somebody's morality is going to be legislated. We have seen that recently. Same-sex marriage. You know, all the things that are being legislated. Somebody's morality is being legislated right now. And it's not God. It's not coming from the Word of God. I can tell you that for the most part. So yes, we need to take a stand. But most important, we need to share the love of Jesus Christ. You know, that's where it is. Love everyone. It doesn't matter who or what. We have to walk in the love of Christ. All right. Now, this morning I want to talk about several things. I want to talk about the importance of saying. As we've already said, God has given us dominion in this earth. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21, if you want to turn to Matthew 21, verse 18. Matthew 21, verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately the fig tree withered away so soon. So Jesus answered and said to... Oh, I'm sorry, I missed my place. I got out of line here. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "Soon, how did the fig tree wither away so soon?" So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive." Okay. Jesus says that we have to speak these things. And we have to speak with authority. We have to believe what we are speaking. Jesus said if you have faith and you speak it, it will happen. The same thing is mentioned in Mark, the same situation. In fact, it's just a little bit different in Mark. Turn with me over in Mark chapter 11, I believe. Okay, Mark chapter 11, beginning with, let's just begin with verse 22. Because he's cursed the fig tree, and Peter asked him, you know, it happened. He cursed it, and they came back another day. "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Okay. So here's what I'm trying to point out in this particular scripture is that Jesus said, if you say it, it's important that we speak it. We have to speak to these mountains. We have to speak to these things that are in our life. We have to understand there is a certain amount of responsibility that we have. Jesus gave us the authority to do so, but we have to speak the right things. We got to stop speaking the negative in our life. Stop saying things like, "I can never get ahead."
Well, yes, sir.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
"That's just my luck."
Well,
yes. Do you realize what you're speaking over yourself? "I don't have enough that I can share or give away." That's nonsense. "I'm powerless over money." Wrong. Money may have some power over you right now, but it doesn't have to have.
Amen. Amen.
You have the ability. People say money is the root of all evil. Wrong. That's not what the scripture says. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil.
That's right.
More spiritual being poor. Nonsense. You have to sell your soul to have money. That is wrong. All those things that you've heard all your life and some of the things that you say are wrong. What does the Word of God say about you? That's what's important. And what God wants is for you to repeat His Word back to Him. That you're the head and not the tail. That you're above and not beneath. The scripture that we just, Deuteronomy. Read that scripture. Read it to yourself every day because God has given you the power to get wealth. A lot of people say, well, you know, if I was wealthy, it would change me. Well, if that's the case, you have problems that you need to deal with now, regardless. Because when our heart is sold out to God, nothing should change us. No circumstance, no amount of income, nothing should change our desire to serve the living God. John Wesley said, make all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. I like it. That's God's desire for us. Speak good things into your life, into your family's life. Confess the Word of God. He would that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Praise God. This is God's will for you. Number two, real quick, we're going to bind and loose. Matthew 8:18. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Praise God. That's what God wants us to get a hold on. This morning, He wants you to get a handle on this, recognizing that you have the power to bind and loose. That's right. He's given that to us. He gave the keys. He said, here, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever is loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. Billy, why don't you come on up? I'm going to do a little object lesson this morning. Hopefully this won't take us too long. But I gotta bind him up. What's that? Yeah. Binding up Samson. Yeah, don't. So what we need to understand is that man, when he came into the king, when he came in the garden or was placed in the garden, was given all authority in this earth. And God wanted Adam and Eve to take complete authority in this earth, to walk in it, subdue it, repopulate it. Amen? I gotta get this thing back together. All right. And here's what I think we forget sometimes is that God made a garden in this earth. And what his expectation was, the garden was his kingdom in this earth. And his expectation was that Adam and Eve go and spread that garden. Wherever they went, the garden would spread in order to repopulate the earth the way God wanted it with his creation. And what happened? Of course, we all know they were tempted and they fell. They disobeyed God. Over here, Billy. So, yeah, he's a good guy, isn't he?
You know, pastors been known to forget the keys.
What's that?
You've been known to lose those keys, right?
No. Yeah, that's true. See what all needs to be done here. So Satan came along and he tempted Adam and Eve. And in the process of tempting Adam and Eve, they fell. And because of them falling, they gave authority to Satan, which actually caused them to be bound. They were bound up. Now, they had a certain amount of power and authority in the earth that God still gave them. But now Satan owned everything because they gave him authority. The scripture tells us he's the god of this world. Amen? And being the god of the world means then that he has a certain amount of control. However, God is still sovereign. And God always has his people in the right place and all right time. And God always had a line, a lineage of people that followed him and served him. You can just read through the Bible, you know, Noah and Abraham and all of God's people, that David, just go through it. You can see God had his people in place. But those people were somewhat bound. They were only able to do certain things. However, here's what God did. He gave them a book. He gave them a law. And he said, in this book, you will find, and this is the wrong book. That was the Quran. It was the wrong one. Here we go. And he gave him a book and he said, in this book, you will find the combination to unlock that lock. So all you got to do is look through there and you'll find the combination. Well, take him a little while. Here's what I want you to understand. We have this book, and as he's looking through it, you find out that the combination is not in one place. It's throughout the whole book. So unless you read the book, you're not going to know the combination that really gives you the key that you need to unlock everything that's binding us up. And notice, takes a little bit of effort too, doesn't it? You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if, you know, all I had to do was just say, God, do everything for me and I'm just going to stay home in bed today. That'd be great. My life would just function all the time. Well, I don't know if it'd be great or not. I don't like to lay in bed all the time. But you know, sometimes that's the way we kind of look at God. Okay, I've prayed, now it's done. You know, I've done my part. Well, not necessarily. If you do your part, praying is a very important part of it. Believing is a very important part of it. But there's so many other steps to fulfilling God's call and desire for our life. Get it open? He did. Look at that. Now, what does it say? This book that God gave mankind had an answer in it. What is that answer? Messiah is the answer. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Messiah gave me the key. He said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He gave that to his people. I have the key. I'm giving it to you, Billy. Because you believe in Messiah. Now you can unlock those chains that are binding your life. Amen? Hallelujah. And he's loose. Amen. Just put that over there. Thank you. I want us to understand that it's been given to us. We have it. We have everything we need in this word. And the key to it is to believe it in Jesus' name. In the name of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This book has always been pointing to the Messiah. The Old Testament. And the New Testament reveals who he is. So that now, not only do we have the words that are written on this, on these pages, we now have the authority in the name of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The authority to speak to the mountain and say, be removed and cast into the sea. To realize that God has given us the power to get wealth, to establish his kingdom. To recognize that he has given us the authority to pray for the sick, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. To walk in all these things according to the Word of God, but the authority that the Messiah has given us. This is powerful if we can catch, if we can really catch it in our life. We really understand exactly what Jesus has done for us. It's the authority we have. It's not just the authority Pastor Rob has. It's not just the authority that great evangelists have. You know, there's been healing evangelists. And praise God for those people that lay hands, they go out and lay hands on the sick. But God has given you and me, all of us, the same authority. Do we believe it? That's where we must get to the place where we recognize that that key has been given to us. To not only unlock the chains that bind us, but to unlock the chains that are binding others out there. The kingdom of God is here now. The power has been given to his people to walk in it. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. His own special people. Man, you're special. Glory. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Number three I want to share with you this morning, a very important point, is agreement. Find people who will agree with you. Matthew 18:19, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Agreement is very powerful. Negative agreement and positive agreement. Be careful who you're getting agreement from. If you're getting agreement from people at the office who do not know Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. You don't want that kind of agreement. You want agreement from believers who will stand with you and believe that God is going to move in your life. He's going to make changes. You don't want somebody who sympathizes with you and say, oh, you poor thing. You want somebody who will come beside you and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to believe that God's going to move in this situation. You want agreement from those who know and understand the Word of God. Now, I'm not telling you that everything is going to turn out exactly the way you want it to. Life is difficult sometimes. It's hard. But I can tell you this. God will never forsake you. He'll never leave you. And he'll always bring you through to the other side. He'll be with you. And all things, according to the Word, will work out for your good. It's hard to see sometimes. Find people who will agree with you. And the last thing I want to share with you this morning is lifestyle. Live it every day. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Let's start with verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." Now listen, Jesus was willing. He was ready. He's going to go to this guy's house and heal him. And here is what this guy says. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." This man lived the lifestyle of giving orders, telling people to do things, and expecting it to be done. Therefore, he understood the authority that Jesus had in this earth. He said, all you had to do is speak it, and it'll be done. He was a Gentile, a pagan, that didn't really, well, this man probably did, follow the Jewish customs. But he wasn't born a Jewish person. And yet, Jesus said, "I've not seen such great faith in anyone." Because he understands the power that floats around in the air when you speak the Word of God. That's why our words are so powerful and so important. Because once you release them, it's impossible to catch them and bring them back. Be careful what you say. Recognize the authority that you have. Live the lifestyle speaking the authority, under the authority of Jesus Christ and under His power. Look, I know, I realize that programs are important in a church, and I don't ever want to diminish the importance of having programs and outreach and all kinds of things that need to take place. But listen, if those things are just social programs, they'll mean nothing, really, in the long term. What we need is the outreach with authority. The outreach where people are touching the lives of individuals, not only meeting their needs, you know, financially, emotionally, but supernaturally. Healings and miracles, words of knowledge, and the power of the Holy Spirit being released out there in people's lives. I encourage you, yeah, we want to do more in our community, but let's do it under the authority that Jesus Christ has given us to pray for the sick, to see miracles take place, to recognize that God is still working in this earth today. And be very careful with what you say and how you say it. People are watching you. They're listening to you. They have expectations of you as a representative of the kingdom of God, as a representative of Bethel Worship Center, as a believer in Jesus Christ. Things that we say sometimes we just speak without thinking. Amen? You know, I'm guilty. It's still out there floating around. Where God says, we're going to give account for those things. My goodness. That should make us be a little more considerate about things that we say. The power that we have in the spoken word is incredible. When we release it in the name of Jesus Christ, I believe we bind and we loose. Bound in heaven, It's already bound in heaven, so it should be bound on earth. When we loose, it's already loosed in heaven, so it should be loose in earth. God has called His people to a higher calling, a higher standard, a higher purpose in this earth. And we're going to do it together. Amen? Stand with me. Thank you, Father. Glory. Lord God, we stand in this place today. I ask for your touch upon your people. The truth is, Lord, we can do nothing except we do it with your power and in your name. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for all of us. You've given us the way, for He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Him. So when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we repent of our sinful nature, that's just who we are, and we ask Jesus to come into our heart. Lord, we become new creatures in You. But we also recognize that there is a necessity to renew our mind. Not to be conformed to this world, but change our thinking and recognize the things that You want and begin to speak positive and good things into our life and into other people's lives. This morning, Lord, if there's somebody that's struggling with this, I just ask You to give them Your strength. Encourage them. Stir their heart today, Father, to know that You are on their side. Lord, I know it's not an easy thing to change the way you think and the way you speak. But we're not doing it by our own power. We're doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Therefore, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank You that You are touching the hearts and the minds of people here at Bethel Worship Center. They will be very aware of the things they say and the way they say it. They will be very aware of what the enemy is trying to place in their mind and do in their life. They're going to walk out of this place this morning, Father God, with a renewed heart and a renewed spirit, knowing that You're going with them, knowing that they have the power in this life. They have the keys to the kingdom. And they're going to go from this place, Father God, to take back the things that the enemy has stolen from them. We just praise You and thank You, Lord, that You're doing an awesome work in this place. It's not by my words or anything that I say or do, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, if You stir Your people this morning. Father God, if there's anyone that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, have not confessed their sins and confessed the Lord Jesus, let that take place in their mind and their heart today, Lord. Stir Your people and stir us as we go from this place. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.